Well, I want to welcome everybody in wherever, however you might be joining us today. We're grateful that you are with us. And as we begin today, I got some good news and I have some bad news. All right. I'm not sure what you want first. Do you want the good news first, bad news first? Why don't we start with the good news first? And the good news is this, it's this, that no matter what you think about yourself, no matter how you view yourself, feel about yourself, even what other people might say about you, here's what you need to know. Here's the good news, is that if you know Jesus, you are a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. If you are in Christ, you are his masterpiece. In fact, Paul tells us this. He writes this in Ephesians 2, verse 10. He says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he has planned for us long ago." Who are you? If you know Jesus, you are God's masterpiece. That is good news. But what about the bad news? What's the bad news? Well, the bad news is that for many of us, we don't believe that. We don't view ourselves as a masterpiece. And part of the reality of that is because we've seen a masterpiece before. We know what a masterpiece looks like. And then we look at our lives and we're like, I know I'm not a masterpiece, right? We've seen, maybe it's paintings or images before, or maybe it's one like this, right? Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh. And we look at this, right? One of the most famous paintings of all time, most famous painting in all of Western art. And we look at this and we're like, that is a masterpiece. Or maybe for you, it's cars. Maybe it's cars, right? The 2025 Chevy Corvette ZR1 5.5 liter twin turbocharged V8, over 1,000 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds. And man, we look at that, right? All the guys are like, oh, man, that's a masterpiece. Maybe for you, it's movies. That you enjoy, right? There's just a classic movie that's just like the greatest of all time. If we go that route, there's only one option, right? Maverick, Top Gun, either one of those movies, right? We look at that and we're like, oh man, no, that is a masterpiece. You see, we've seen a masterpiece before. We know what a masterpiece looks like. And then we look at our lives and it's just like, man, I know I am not a masterpiece. You see, a masterpiece doesn't have thinning hair. A masterpiece isn't underperforming in their job. A masterpiece doesn't have a car that leaks oil. A masterpiece doesn't have all of this credit card debt. A masterpiece doesn't eat the entire bag of potato chips. I've seen a masterpiece. I am no masterpiece. And all we have to do is we kind of look around and the world confirms this, right? We're told you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. You're not pretty enough. In fact, we even begin to tell ourselves this. Man, I try so hard. I try and I bring my best, but it's never enough. My best is never enough. I know what a masterpiece looks like. And man, I am no masterpiece. You know, Paul, as he was writing this text that we just looked at in Ephesians 2, he was writing to Christian believers in Ephesus that they would have known what a masterpiece looks like. Because as they walked around the town of Ephesus, they would have seen regularly the temple of Artemis. And it was amazing and it was beautiful. Now, if we look at what it would look like today, if we were to go to Ephesus, this is what you got. It's just like kind of some ruins. There's like some artifacts around that's kind of cool. But during the time when Paul wrote the letter to Ephesians, to Ephesus, it was beautiful. It was a masterpiece. It was amazing. It was known as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It took, they're guesstimating, 120 years to construct and to build this beautiful place. And so the Ephesians, each and every day, as they would walk around town, they were reminded of what a masterpiece was and reminded of how insignificant or unimportant their lives were. And you know, in a similar way today, for us, right, thanks to social media, we're reminded every day, right, I'm not that influencer out there that has the perfect life or the perfect body. I'm not on vacation again like my one friend who just always seems like they go on a vacation each and every month. I'm not the perfect mom with the perfect home, with the perfect homemade meal at night. No, I'm the mom who hasn't showered in 3 days and it's chicken nuggets again for dinner at my house. How many of you know what that feels like? And there's this voice in our head that tells us we're not good enough. Not even sure why they love you. You can't make a difference. You don't make enough money. You don't look right. You're not important enough. You will never be enough. And you know, there's actually more bad news. There's more bad news. And the bad news is this, is that without Christ, it's actually true. Without Christ, you are not enough. And God's word, it teaches us this, that without Christ, we're incomplete. We are broken. We are sinful. And contrary to popular opinion or belief, you are not enough without Christ. In fact, Paul walks us through this. If we go a few verses before verse 10 that we looked at in Ephesians 2, Paul kind of walks us through our lives, our journey, our story. In verse 1, look at what he says. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world." Paul is saying here, look, we were all dead. What can a dead person do? A dead person can't do anything. They are totally unable to help or save themselves. He's saying that's where we were. We were following the ways of this world. He continues in verse 3. He says, "All of us, we also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Paul is very direct here, and he's telling us that we are sinful. And what does that sin do? Well, that sin, it separates us from a holy God. And the truth is that without Christ, you are not okay. None of us are. We're broken. We are dead in our sins, because without Christ, you are not enough. And we have to start here. It's so important that we acknowledge and understand this, because if we don't understand this, or we don't admit that there is a problem and that our sin is a problem, then we will never see our need for Jesus. We will never see our need for a Savior, that He is the one, Jesus, He is the one who saves us from our sins. You see, without Christ, there is no hope. You have no hope. I have no hope of saving myself. We can never be good enough. No matter how much self-help, positive attitude, self-love, we will never be good enough on our own. That's the reality of our situation, but there is good news coming. In fact, verse 4 is coming. Look at what the scriptures tell us in verse 4. It says this, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. He brings us back to life, from dead, from being a corpse, to now being alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace you have been saved." We were dead in our sin, but God. We were lost, broken, without hope, but God. Without Jesus, we were destined for a life separated from God, but God, who is rich in mercy. He loved us so much that He gave His Son for us to die in our place. And He gave His life for us, and He offers it to us. Look at verse 8. Paul continues. He says, "For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. This is not from yourself. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And so we see this incredible gift of grace that God extends to us through Christ. That while we were separated, while we were dead, He offers us this life through Christ. And we receive this gift by faith, by believing in what Christ has done for us. And when we express that faith, when we believe, our life changes. In a moment, we move from dead, spiritually speaking, to now alive, with purpose, with meaning. And he describes what that's like in verse 10, our key verse. Paul says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." You see, the bad news is without Christ, you're not enough. But the good news is that with Christ, you are God's masterpiece. You are the masterpiece of God in Christ Jesus. But what does this mean? Let's talk about this word masterpiece. It's actually a beautiful word. In the Greek, it's the word poema. That's where we get our word poetry from. And it's this wonderful word that means that which has been created. Some translations will translate that word as handiwork. It's a poetic statement. It means masterpiece. Literally, if we take that word poema and we take it from the Greek and we try to transliterate it into English so to keep the original meaning, it would read kind of weird, but it would be like this. It would be like, of God, you are masterpiece, or by God, you are masterpiece, or from God, you are masterpiece. That is, you are the masterpiece of God. And he has created you anew in Christ to do these good things that he has planned for you. You're created with a divine purpose. Who are you? You are a masterpiece. You are not who the world says that you are. You are who he says that you are. You're his masterpiece, created to do these good works that he has prepared for you to do. Now, for some of you, you might be like, well, wait, hold on a second, Nate. You're talking about good works here now. But I thought we've talked about how good works are not what saves us. And that's a great question. And here's what you need to understand is that we are not saved by good works, but for good works. You're not saved by what you do, right? Christ took care of that. It's all about what he has done for us on the cross. And God has created you as his masterpiece for his purpose. You are made by God for a purpose. It's to know him and to live out this purpose that he has for your life. In fact, I heard a pastor say one time, this was a long time ago, that if you don't know the purpose of something, all you will do is misuse or abuse that thing. If you don't know the purpose of a tool or of an object, all you're gonna do is you're gonna misuse that thing. It'd be like taking that Chevy Corvette and putting a snow plow on the front of it and using it to plow snow. Like, you just imagine the horror of putting a snow plow on a Corvette. No, that's not what the Corvette is intended to do. It'd be like taking, you know, Van Gogh's painting, right, of A Starry Night and using it as a cutting block. No, that painting was never meant to be a cutting block. If we don't know the purpose of something, all we will do is misuse it. And the pastor, he would go on to say that if you want to know the purpose of the thing, you don't ask the thing. No, you ask the one who created that thing. In other words, if you want to know your purpose for your life, don't ask your best friends. Don't throw it out there to social media and say like, hey guys, what do you think? Or who do you think I am? Or my purpose? No, if we want to know the purpose of our lives, we go to the one who has created us, and he has created you with a divine purpose. In other words, there may be someone here today that God created you to pray for someone who is sitting near you today before they walk out of the building. That's your assignment today, to pray for them. There may be someone in your life who's struggling to pay a bill right now, and you can help meet that need. You can help pay that bill. And God created you. He gave you the ability to help meet that need of someone nearby. Maybe there's someone in your life right now that doesn't know Christ. They're far from God, and you have the light and you have the love of Jesus dwelling within you, and God created you with a purpose. He gave you the purpose to show the love of God to that friend or to that coworker, to help draw them towards the saving grace of Jesus. Purpose. You were created by God for a purpose, a divine purpose. And purpose, that's a cool word. We like that word. We want to have purpose. We want our lives to be full of purpose, our jobs, our careers, our relationships. And this is so important that as a follower of Jesus, we are not looking for purpose. We're not trying to find our purpose. No, as a follower of Jesus, you bring purpose to everything that you do. There's purpose in your parenting. You're not just changing diapers. You're not just like a permanent Uber driver, just driving your kids around from one activity to another. No, there's purpose in your parenting. You're trying to raise up this next generation that would know God, that would love him and want to serve him. There's purpose in the way you interact with people at work. You're not just doing a job. You're not just completing tasks. No, you're doing everything for the glory of Jesus. There's purpose in how you manage your finances. You're stewarding what God has entrusted to you so that you can be generous to others. We bring purpose to everything that we do. Paul would say this. He says this in Romans 8:28. This is a well-known verse. We love the first part. Sometimes we miss the back end of it. It says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to My purpose? Your purpose? No, according to his purpose. Well, what is God's purpose for my life? If we know him and we're following him, well, Paul makes this crystal clear in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He kind of sums it all up in this one verse, and he says, look, whatever you're doing, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You see, you have a purpose, and God created you to know him and to have this purpose, and he gave you the abilities and the talents and the skills to be able to fulfill and to live out this purpose. But what does that, right? What does that mean? Or what does that look like practically? And I think so often we can complicate this and we can make it more than it is or more complicated than it is. And I think this question, this next question can help kind of distill down what this means for us. And it's this, that if my purpose is to bring glory to God, how should that shape what I do right now? In this conversation that I'm in with a coworker or with a friend, okay, so if my purpose is to honor God, how does that then impact how I respond or how I react? With my homework, with this essay or this assignment, if my purpose is to honor God, and remember, we're not looking for purpose. No, we bring purpose to whatever we are doing. So if my purpose is to honor God, how does that impact how I do my homework this evening? When I'm alone on my phone, or I'm alone on my computer, what does it look like right now in this moment that would bring honor and glory to God? You are the masterpiece of God, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared for you to do. And when we begin to understand this, when we begin to view our lives this way, this begins to shape the purpose of our lives. It shapes the way we look at each day. And I think to further help us just understand the reality of what it looks like to live out being the masterpiece of God and his divine purpose in our lives, I have some questions to just, again, help refine this in our lives. The first question is this, is how can I bring purpose into what I'm already doing? See, purpose isn't just this like big, life-altering, world-changing moment. No, it's the small, daily, those faithful choices to glorify God in the everyday. Are you living each day with a sense of intentionality? In fact, just think about your day. Think about your daily routine, when you get up and what you do, the tasks that you do, whether it's just getting up and getting ready, spending time in God's word, working out, getting the kids ready, your job. Think about that. And then reflect, man, how could these activities be opportunities for you to honor God? How can we shift our mindset? I mean, for so many of us, right, it's just like, let me just get through the day. I just gotta survive the day, or let me just get to the weekend. If I can just make it to the weekend. But what if we shift our mindset from that to, man, God, help me today to live with purpose, your purpose, to bring glory to you. Another question could be this, who in my life needs to experience God's love through me? Think about the people that you encounter regularly, family, friends, coworkers, maybe even strangers, maybe even the cashier at Wegmans, that through your patience or through your kindness that you can just demonstrate and put God's love on display. Maybe there's someone who's hurting, lonely, or struggling in your life. How can you be intentional about reaching out to them? Maybe it's offering encouragement or just a listening ear. Ask yourself, am I seeing the people that God has placed around me as God sees them? How am I able to reflect his heart in tangible ways this week? I think one last question that'd be good for us to reflect on is, you know, what are the gifts or opportunities that God has given me to be able to serve others? Think about just the unique talents, maybe the skills or the abilities that God has given to you. How are you able to use those things to make a difference in someone else's life? Maybe you have the skill of problem solving or fixing things or building things, and you know a friend of yours or maybe even a neighbor who has this project that they're trying to complete or finish, and you're like, you know what, I could help. I've done that before. I know what needs to be done, and you can be a blessing to them and serve them in that way. Maybe it's you love to cook or you love to bake, and you can be a blessing to someone else by providing a meal. You see, opportunities to serve, they don't always require a big stage. In fact, oftentimes they come in just like the everyday, the simple, the unnoticed moments. Are you open to seeing these needs that are right in front of us each day? You see, you are the masterpiece of God, and he has good works in store for you to do to bring him glory. And I know for some of you right now, you might be like, okay, Nate, like, I hear you. I'm tracking with you. But look, man, I'm just still a mess. My life is a mess. I am no masterpiece. And Nate, look, you don't understand. I have so many problems and issues. And look, I just want to say, look, I get it. I understand. In fact, I am right there with you. I am still a mess as well. And I have good days and I have some really bad days as well. The reality is we're all still a work in progress, where God is refining each of us and he's chipping away through the hard times and even the good times, just the things that are not of Christ, that he's trying to chip away to refine us into to the man or woman he wants us to be. It's a process. A masterpiece is not made in one day. No, God is crafting you. Be reminded of that. And you still may struggle and you still might be like, all right, Nate, I hear you, but I am no masterpiece. I've got so many problems I'm dealing with right now. And look, I want to press in here and just remind you of your purpose, because so often we can think the problem is like, man, I just have this issue of comparing myself against everybody else. And that's my issue. That's my problem. I'm just always comparing. Or maybe you think your issue is, you know, I just try to obsessively control. I'm always trying to control the situations and the people around me, and that's my problem. Or I just always date the wrong person, or I just always eat more than I should, or I overspent again, or I just can't stop arguing, or I can't stop lusting. But because perhaps maybe you think that that is your problem and you're trying to solve that problem, but the reason you can't solve that problem is because maybe that's not the real problem. Maybe that's a symptom of the real problem. And maybe the problem is a false sense of who you are and who you were designed to be, who you were created to be, a false sense of your purpose. And if the problem is a false sense of purpose, here's what will happen. It will lead you to believe these lies of us trying to fix the problem. I just gotta be better. I just gotta work harder. I just have to do more. And we believe this purpose, we return back to this purpose lies within me to fix what this problem might be in my life. And look, it is never about you trying to be enough. Without Christ, you are not enough. You're incomplete. You'll always be dissatisfied. You're always going to be falling short, wondering, man, is there or there has to be something more? And there is. There's Jesus. That's why Jesus came, who loved you, who died for you in your place so that your sins could be forgiven. And he is the one who brings you to life. He brings you from death to life. He provides and breathes new life into you, a new purpose. There, no longer are you just living for yourself and your own fulfillment, your own comfort, but he gives you this new purpose, a bigger purpose, which is to live for him, to love him, to glorify him, to serve others. And as we pursue him, that begins to shift and to change our perspective, to realize, you know, this sense of satisfaction that I'm always searching for in myself, no, that can only be found when I am pursuing and following Jesus. And the satisfaction of following him far outweighs any satisfaction that could come when we're just living for ourselves. You see, without Christ, no amount of human effort will truly make you enough. But with him, you have more than enough. You have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead within you. You are the masterpiece of God, created in Christ to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for you to do, that before you were even born, God placed you right here in this moment of history, giving you the passions, the skills, and the desires that he has given to you, placed you around the people that he has placed around you. Why? Because he has a purpose for your life. He has good works in store for you to do. You are the masterpiece of God. And when we know that, and when we believe that, when we know who we are, you will know what to do. And you will live out and step out in that grace of who God has created you to be. Who are you? You are the masterpiece of God. Would you pray with me? Father, We thank you so much for your great love and care for us, Lord, that you recognized our inability to save and ourselves, and you provided a way through Jesus. Lord, in that act of your love, that act of Christ coming to this earth, dying on a cross and rising again, Lord, it changes our lives. It brings us to life, and you restore in us a passion and a purpose, Lord, that is far greater than ourselves. I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to step into that purpose each day, to not believe the lies, but Lord, to cling to who we are in you and to live out that purpose that you have given to us. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.